Okay, so I'm going to report on some recent results in holographic entanglement entropy. This is work done by many people, and I'll only comment on anything I've done to a small degree. So I'd like to start by just thanking the organizers for giving me the chance to give part of this review, and also especially thank Mukund for giving a really excellent introduction yesterday, which I'll assume you all saw and mastered. Okay, so yesterday, Mukund gave a nice introduction to the setting of this discussion, which is gauge gravity duality. And he sketched out more of the details of that than I am going to do. He introduced the Ryutaki-Nagi formula for entanglement entropy, as well as its covariant generalization. So just to remind you, in the simple case, in the Ryutaki-Nagi case, the entanglement entropy associated to some region in the CFT is given by the area of the minimal surface connected to A. Okay, and then describe the generalization, which goes under the acronym HRT. He also gave some nice examples in low dimensions and in higher dimensions with a lot of symmetry so that you could get a feel for it. And near the end of his talk, he gave an important consistency check, which is that the Ryutaki-Nagi prescription satisfies strong subadditivity. Okay. And he showed this very cute graphical proof. So today, what I'm going to do, I'm going to list, or I'm going to review a few other recent results that I like, and then I will hand over the mic to Shi. For my talk today, we're going to work squarely in the regime where the gravity description is Einstein gravity. So at some point, I'll have to appeal to certain semi-classical aspects of the theory. And that means that I'm going to make no effort to specify concretely what the CFT is. We're just going to follow our nose. And in the language of the parameters that Mukund introduced yesterday, this can be translated into the large n limit as well as the large lambda limit, where n counts the degrees of freedom of the CFT, and lambda we think of as the coupling. And she will tell us how to get away from both of those limits. Good. So the first thing I want to present is the following statement. Holographic mutual information is monogamous. And since this talk is being recorded, I'd like to say that I am also monogamous. My wife is a blogger, and she could possibly see this. There are many measures of entanglement. Yesterday, we focused almost exclusively on entanglement entropy. But there are many. If you open a book, some textbook, you can find an infinite number of measures of entanglement. And one useful one that I understand, is mutual information. I can define it in terms of entanglement entropy as follows. So it's a quantity, it's a symmetric quantity in two regions, A and B, and it measures what you might casually call the connected part of the entanglement. Okay, the entanglement entropy of A plus that of B minus the entanglement entropy of their union. And subadditivity states that the mutual information is greater than or equal to zero. The reason I feel like I understand this is because I'm weak, and I feel like I understand correlation functions. And this is something that directly probes correlation functions. And that follows from the Pinsker equality, which simply states that the mutual information bounds connected correlations between A and B properly normalized. So, OA and OB are operators supported in A and B respectively. Psi is any state. And these operators are supposed to be normalized in an honest sense. They're bounded. So they're bound, we're going to normalize this by their operator norm. Okay. So the mutual information bounds any two-point function that I might give you. But the list goes on. There are many measures that I don't understand. And one that I basically don't understand, but we'll use anyways, is the tripartite information, which is some symmetric combination of entanglement entropies. I'm going to spare myself some writing.
Ian?
Yes.
Sorry, but before you go from the first point, it might be worthwhile telling the folks here that when we talk about the mutual information between two intervals being zero holographically, what we mean by that statement is that order, sort of the central charge.
Oh, you're totally giving away the, like,
oh,
30 minutes from now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
right now, just in a quantum system, the mutual information is greater than or equal to zero because it must bound correlations. So it follows that if you're looking at anything interesting, it must be greater than zero. Okay, later we'll find out that holographically it's often zero. Okay, but I wanted to talk about this thing I don't understand. Okay, which is the tripart information. I've written it like so, just so you see what it is and so you see that it's symmetric, but I'm going to rewrite it in terms of mutual information. And then I'll finally get a break from writing equations. Like this. Good, so the list goes on. And since I've already reached one that I don't understand, I'll stop here. The point of the first point that I wish to make is that the Ryutaki-Nagi formula for holographic entanglement entropy satisfies the following inequality. So this tripart information is always less than or equal to zero. And I'm going to give you four reasons why you care. First reason is that this is actually a powerful consistency check, because this inequality contains within it strong subadditivity as well as consistency. As well as, in fact, an infinite number of inequalities that have been derived that entanglement entropy should satisfy. Okay, so these are the inequalities of Linden and Winter and friends, and they are in fact all contained in this equality. So it is a separate proof of strong subadditivity, but is in fact stronger. The second reason you care is the universality of the statement I just made. This holds true if you assume Ryutaki-Nagi independent of the geometry. None of the details of say the class of bulk spacetimes are included in this statement. This is really just a result of the RT prescription for choosing minimal surfaces. So it's very universal from the bulk perspective. The third reason you care is that it is in fact very much not universal from the quantum field theory perspective. So given this statement and this statement, you might think that any reasonable quantum system satisfies monogamy, and that's not true. So the fact that holographically we get this bound acts as a very useful litmus test for potential states in a quantum field theory, which we would like to have holographic duals.
Is that a statement that if a system satisfies the monogamy, then it has a holographic dual, or there's no such strong?
I'm not making that statement. It's a necessary condition for it to have a classical bulk dual with entanglement entropy given by the RT formula.
Do we know what of any other examples though, of that of field theories that do satisfy this?
I think many examples
that don't have a holographic dual.
This is just a property of states, really. And so if you just look at a three-qubit system, You can look at GHD states, and some of them satisfy it, and some of them don't.
Okay.
So you don't. Okay. So you don't have to go very far to find examples and counterexamples. Good. Now the fourth reason you care will become clear once I tell you what the heck this actually means. Right, this is just some inequality of entanglement entropies at the moment. So if we return to this formula for the tripartite information, I'm going to rewrite it for some general measure of entanglement, F. The statement that the tripartite information is less than zero could be restated like this. And this inequalities of this type are known as monogamy relations. And they tell you that whatever is being measured by this quantity F is quantum and can't be shared in a certain sense that I'll describe. So if we think of this as the F, for example, as the mutual information, what it says is that the correlation between A and B and C cannot be split into a correlation between A and B and correlation between B and C without some loss of correlation, some loss of entanglement. So this is the sense in which monogamy relations state that true entanglement cannot be shared. Okay. Yeah.
Aren't there such relations which don't? I thought there were relations like this which don't require holography, and they're still always true. If you try to place F by any congruence or something.
Sorry. What's your question?
Aren't there relations like this in a different function F which are always true?
There are. So it is important, as I said here, that this. This monogamy condition on mutual information is not generic.
Yes.
It's not yet.
But so that if I take one of those which are always true, is there a simple geometrical proof of those within holography?
I mean, it would depend on the case.
Like,
I mean, I'm going to argue that this is an extremely simple proof that doesn't use details of Einstein's equations or anything.
So can this be shown for HRT?
You should ask Aaron Wall that question. I believe it has not.
Because the strong subadditivity required in all energy condition, I suppose that this might require something to be larger.
Yeah, that could be. So this, if I didn't state it explicitly, this is only going to hold or is only proven to hold in the case where we can use the RT formula.
I think Aaron claimed it does. I'm not sure whether it was in print.
Okay, offline he claims it does, yeah.
And but more generally, I think, you know, for other quantum information theoretic measures of entanglement, for generic ones, we just don't have a general prescription what they mean in holography. So if, for example, concurrence, I don't think we know how to define it in holography. So certain things we probably have some idea what not.
Good. So the sharp statement is that in states, in CFTs with holographic duals, there is enough quantum entanglement such that the mutual information is monogamous. Remember that the mutual information bounds correlation functions, so it is subject to both classical and truly quantum correlation. And the sharp statement is that when the RT formula applies, there is enough entanglement so as to make mutual information monogamous. So I want to sketch the proof, but I don't want to take up much space or time. So the proof follows by very similar pictures to those that Mukund drew. I've just drawn the. I'm going to sketch out first one side of the equality. The first surface I've drawn is the entangling surface of SAC. I can similarly draw an entangling surface for SAB and one for SBC. Drawing the same picture with a different set of entanglement entropies. S A B C, like so. S B, S A, and S C. And so the statement, going out of your field of view, I realize that these are equal. And by this picture, you can convince yourself this of a simple cutting diagram. These pictures lie. But we have finite time, so the proof is actually only two pages. It is, in fact, very geometric, so these diagrams maybe don't lie that much.
A, B, and C don't have to be contiguous like
that. That's right. That's how I draw this picture, and it looks obvious.
Yeah.
Good, so now the caveat that Veronica already mentioned. The Yutaki-Nagi formula likes to return zero for the mutual information. We like to say that there are phase transitions, where it goes from being zero to non-zero. And that means that very frequently, this equality is saturated, as is this equality. And so there, one should be aware of that. Furthermore, if we imagine corrections to the Ryutaki-Nagi formula, say because we move away from infinite n or infinite lambda, the fact that the tripartite information is written as a sum of mutual informations that enter in both signs means that we don't generically expect this formula to hold at higher orders. I'm saying that there are large regions in parameter space where the mutual information will be returned to zero. And that will be, I'm going to talk more about mutual information and that will become maybe more clear. Yeah. And so when you imagine small corrections to this formula, I'm just stating, in all ignorance, I have no idea what sign the corrections will be. Well, they have to be positive for I, but they could come in for either sign. So I'm not stating that this inequality will hold when you accommodate those corrections.
I think it's clear that you can find examples where it will not hold, because the correction is given by the entanglement entropy in the bulk. Right? And there, if you put the GHC state, like the ones used to violate inequality.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with, this is a nice property, and I gave you the interpretation that it means that mutual information is measuring truly quantum entanglement, but there's nothing wrong if it's slightly positive in some regions. Good, so if there are no other questions on this, I'll move on to the next subject. Entanglement.
Are there states for which this is saturated? I mean, it seems like if you want to violate it by some subleading piece, you want the leading piece to be zero, right?
Yeah. I mean,
but there are states like that.
Absolutely, because as I'm sure you know, I mean, mutual information, the holographically computed mutual information will vanish to leading order at large n quite frequently. So if you just make some arrangement in certain regions where all the mutual informations vanish, then this tripartite information vanishes. Good, so let's leave monogamy. Both entanglement, I get confused both by entanglement and interactions. They're two logically distinct phenomena, and when you first learn about entanglement, it very often is in quantum mechanics, and you're just told stories about qubits, and you don't need to have interactions at all. So in fact, if you want to study entanglement, it might be useful to study entanglement in systems that are not interacting. This is how I at least first learned about entanglement. So if I was an experimentalist, what I would want is some setup where I have a number of subsystems where the degrees of freedom in those subsystems are entangled, but those subsystems are not talking to each other at all. They're not interacting. So I'd like to study entanglement without interactions, just to keep my life simple. Naively, very, very naively, one can't do this in holography because we've taken a strong coupling limit. So how can I study entanglement without interaction? Well, that is naive. In fact, we can do it. And the way we do it is by having multiple copies of our interacting field theory. So we're going to consider now a setup where we have what we mean by the CFT is, in fact, a product CFT. And the resulting Hilbert space is also a product Hilbert space. And my claim is that this is a good Gedanken laboratory for studying entanglement. So to give you an idea what I mean, I'm going to consider first what we'll call the two-boundary case. For concreteness, let me just tell you what the story is in the CFT that I'm trying to study. I wish to study a thermal state. We learned a little bit about the thermal state yesterday in Mukun's talk. But I'm going to describe the thermal state in what's called the thermal field double description, where I regard the thermal vacuum as an entangled state in this copied CFT. So there are, the CFTs will be labeled 1 and 2, and these are the energy eigenstates.
You should put a factor in
there. Oh, I'm not keeping track. Sorry, where do I need a factor?
Beta En over 2.
Oh, come on. Okay. There should probably be a length scale in here, too, or something. Yeah. Okay. Good. So last time, we saw a very different picture of the thermal state and of the geometry that it's dual to. Yesterday, Mukun talked about computing entanglement entropy at finite temperature and basically claimed that the dual to that finite temperature state on the circle is given by a bulk geometry with a black hole, and that the horizon area controls the temperature in the CFT. And for instance, he computed the entanglement entropy of some region A on the boundary by computing the area of the relevant Ryutaki-Nagi surface. That's all well and good. But this black hole spacetime, I apologize to the relativists in the room. This is intended to be very introductory. This black hole spacetime actually can be extended in various ways. And in fact, it has a unique maximal analytic extension in which this spacetime has not one boundary, but two boundaries. So in order to show that, I'm going to redraw this picture. I'm going to imagine drawing an equal time surface. But now I'm going to take the boundary, which was an S1, since I can only draw so many dimensions. So this is maybe the angular direction on the boundary. And this is the holographic dimension, which in that picture stops at the horizon, which has some characteristic length scale, L. This is the horizon. This is the holographic direction. And in this analytic, maximal analytic extension, the spacetime actually continues on the other side of the horizon for this time slice to another boundary. And another S1 over here. So there's also holography going this direction on this side. OK, and the way we interpret this picture is that CFT1 lives over here, and CFT2 lives over here. And the thermal state is describing a highly entangled state in this product description. As I said before, this length controls the temperature of the black hole. And this region of spacetime that connects these two, I just should mention for completeness, is called an Einstein-Rosen bridge. OK, so there's no, what do I mean when I say that this geometry describes two CFTs that are entangled but not interacting? The reason they're not interacting is because the causal structure in the bulk forbids it. So by now, you've learned that relativists like to draw pictures that preserve angles, but not lengths. So now I'm going to draw another picture, which is the conformal diagram of this full spacetime, in which the CFT1 is over here on this boundary. Time flows in this direction. The S1 is suppressed, and this is this holographic direction. CFT2 lives over here, and the slice that I've drawn on the board is some slice here. Okay. And the point here is that the light cones are at right angles in this picture, so there's no way for CFT1 to send a signal to CFT2. Good. So rather than ask this question, what is the entanglement entropy of some region in the thermal state, I'm going to use the thermal state as a model of a product of two CFTs, and I wish to probe the entanglement structure between regions in CFT1 and CFT2. So continuing with the simplest case, I'll consider a 2 plus 1 dimensional black hole spacetime, which is known as the BTZ solution, which describes the two-dimensional thermal state in the CFT. So in order to compute entanglement between one side and the other, I need to draw minimal surfaces on this hyperboloid. And I'm not very good at that, so I'm going to cut the hyperboloid and open it up. So this is another picture of the hyperboloid, where this is the first boundary, this is the second boundary, and this is identified. So the question I wish to ask, and by the way, this length here is, again, this length which controls the temperature. And I'm going to ask, how can we probe holographically the entanglement between degrees of freedom on this side with degrees of freedom on the other side? And I'm going to first ask this question at large temperature. So one way to probe the entanglement is through mutual information. Let me consider a region A1 in CFT1 and a region A2 in CFT2. And now I need colored chalk. The entanglement entropy of region A is given by RT surface homologous to A1. The entanglement of A2 is likewise given by this surface. And if I want to know the mutual information between A1 and A2, A1, A2. This is, again, this formula. Then I also need to know the Ryutaki-Nagi surface, which computes the entanglement of A1 union A2. And there are two possibilities. The first possibility is that the minimal area surface is just the sum of these two disconnected surfaces. If that's the case, then the mutual information will vanish. This is very frequently the case when studying mutual information in general via holography. And so this is the case I was talking about where the mutual information vanishes. Okay. But there's another surface. There's another potential Ryutaki-Nagi surface which could compute this entanglement. And it's the connected surface. And when that's the minimal surface, then it is by definition less than these, and the mutual information is greater than zero. At large temperature, this is exactly what we find. Large temperature, the mutual information between regions on these two CFTs is greater than zero. And this is certainly the right answer, since we are, after all, looking at a highly entangled state, or equivalently, the KMS condition basically requires that this be non-zero. Good. So this is the story at high temperature. What I want to do now is dial down the temperature in the bulk. That corresponds to shrinking the size of the radius. So I'll draw a new cylinder with a smaller...
I'm confused about the units there. I think of temperature as having dimensions 1 over length.
Yeah, I've dropped all factors of C and G and whatnot.
Yeah, so they high regular.
They do, yeah. Good. So as I lower the temperature, the size of the horizon shrinks, so I should draw a different cylinder. Like so. And now the Well, the surfaces that compute entanglements between A1 and A2 stay the same. But now we're at a point where Ryu Takinagi returns this, the union of these two surfaces, as the appropriate entanglement surface for A1 union A2. And so at some point, at a finite temperature, the holographic calculation would state that all correlations between the two regions vanish. And this is a statement that holds only at leading order in n squared. So this is clearly not the right result at any finite temperature, but is the correct result in these perhaps unfamiliar large n CFTs where certain operators contribute at different orders. Good, so now...
This transition depends on A1 and A2, or...?
Yeah, for a particular A1 and A2, the transition will occur at a different point. The real question is, does it occur above the Hawking page phase transition, which is what I'm going to talk about next. So although now the holographically computed mutual information vanishes, I'd like to, for a moment, just say a few words about what happens when we lower the temperature even further. And this is because this is a good story in gravity, and I can't resist at least mentioning it. So we're using this as a model of how to study entanglement between degrees of freedom which are non-interacting. If I continue lowering the temperature, well, the holographic calculation has already said that the mutual information vanishes. There must not be any correlations between the CFTs at this order. But if I lower the temperature even further, something funny happens in the bulk. When the temperature reaches the Hawking page temperature, we no longer trust this picture, this connected geometry. And that's because I mentioned that gravity theory in the bulk that I'm considering is Einstein, but at times it's semi-classical. What I mean by that is, even in the large n limit and large lambda limit, the bulk description is that of class is still quantum, but its path integral is dominated by saddle points, by classical saddle points. So these bulk solutions that we draw are simply the classical saddle points of this quantum system. And when the temperature gets low enough, we know this is no longer the dominant saddle point of the path integral. The dominant saddle point is actually that of a disconnected geometry. So in this disconnected geometry, it is very clear that there is no holographic correlation between a region on one side and a region on the other. So in this case, the geometry is performing the lack of entanglement. OK, so the key point I want to mention about this is that using the RT formula, the holographically computed mutual information will vanish before this transition point in geometry. So it, in some sense, knows that this transition is going to occur.
So the subleading part of the mutual information actually vanishes before this is true, right? It continues being finite, and then the geometry disconnects, or rather, this disconnected geometry dominates, and you no longer care.
So by subdominant, you mean what would, like, the corrections?
The order one.
Yeah, I mean, so I have nothing to say about corrections, just simply pointing out that at this order, the Ryu Takinagi is not sort of sharply cut off by this transition in the bulk, which would come from slightly quantum information.
Because the transition in the bulk is governed by the free energy and not the entropy?
I think that's true, but I don't recall this story.
So the thermal field double state is still applicable to this situation?
Yeah. No, it's still applicable. Good. OK, so we can move away from this story. So in some sense, this thermofield double was just sort of the simplest possible case where we understand everything in the CFT. But life gets much more interesting if we instead consider product states, states in a CFT cross CFT, where we've made significant changes to one side. Then we can construct different states, which are and their geometries, which differ significantly from this simple Einstein-Rosen bridge picture. And along those lines, I just wanted to mention some very nice stories by Trinker Stanford, Malasana, and in a related context, Hartman and Malasana. Good, so we're each given about 45 minutes. 40 minutes? How much time do we get?
You got 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay. Good. So I'm going to continue on this theme.
Ian, because I'm not getting royalties, why don't you put an E and an E
instead of I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Wait, where should I put the E's? Are there two E's?
Unless you want to arrange for the royalty checks.
No, no. My apologies.
It also has an extra letter.
Oh, it does. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's embarrassing. Well, this is why I haven't written down any references yet, because I can't get any of the names right. Okay, and in fact, in the next reference, I'm definitely not going to write the names. Okay, so I have just a few minutes. I'm going to argue that this same picture of studying copied CFTs is also useful for probing multipartite entanglement. So what do I mean by multipartite entanglement? Well, I first met entanglement by hearing stories about Alice and Bob. Okay, but entanglement isn't just a two-party system. There's Alice and Bob, there's Ace and Gary, there's Simon and Garfunkel, and all these people are entangled in various ways. And so the measures of entanglement that I've been using thus far, namely entanglement, entropy, and mutual information, that basically probes the kinds of entanglement you can probe with two observers. Okay. The analogy I would give with quantum mechanics or quantum field theory is that you simply can't learn everything about a state in a quantum field theory from two-point functions. There's qualitatively new information that comes from three-point functions, four-point functions, etc. And so correspondingly, we need measures such as this I3 that I mentioned before, which measures entanglement between multiple parties. So since I easily get confused, I do like to think about this in terms of non-interacting systems. So the way I would like to study this holographically is by considering product CFTs, where the number of CFTs is now greater than 2. So not a lot has been done in this direction. Okay, now I've screwed myself over. Now I have to give the reference. And the reference, the first sort of exploratory work on this is by Balasubramanian, Hayden, Maloney, Morolf, and Ross. And since I've misspelled Vijay's name several times on slides, I know I'm not going to be able to do it here. Okay, so this is the relevant reference. And since my time is essentially done, let me just suggest that studying multiple products of CFTs is fun for a gravity guy because we get to study bulk geometries that have very, very non-trivial topology. And we know that the entanglement story here will be very interesting simply because we can examine phase transitions in the semi-classical path integral of the gravitational bulk. And we know that while there are connected geometries such as this, which could describe potential CFT states, there are also phase transitions where a different bulk geometry dominates. Okay, so we can have disconnected regimes as well, and the entanglement in the CFT has to mimic this. Okay, so I'll stop on time. That's all I wanted to say.
More questions for Ian?
So here, this is the eigenstate of let's say the identity set of H1 times identity minus identity times H2.
Yeah, it's the standard thermofield double state.
Sorry?
It's the standard thermofield double state.
Right.
Yeah, so H1 minus H2, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if I just write on that Hamiltonian, it's not obvious. I mean, how did you choose this coefficient? Suppose I give you this Hamiltonian, H1 minus H2. It seems like there's a lot of indeterminacy in this. You could have put anything else there.
Oh, you're asking why do I believe that the thermofield double state is the state described by this geometry?
Not really. I'm just wondering, but is it true that if some of these qualities hold, even if I change some of these transitions, and
yeah,
if I change this, don't put E minus beta E in something else.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so these references over here, I mean, they're starting to explore exactly this issue. We can look at states which are significantly different from the thermofield double state, which you could say. In terms of this expansion coefficient, is for instance non-diagonal and doesn't have this behavior at low energies. And we can look at that, and the geometry correspondingly gets much more interesting.
Yeah. And how does one prepare ever such states? You're saying the CFTs are not interacting. Seems like at some point maybe they were in contact, then they went away like an EPR pair, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, so what we think of, so I like the way I described it, which is that they're prepared and someone gives them to prepared to have a certain entanglement. The way we operationally do that is by a kind of path integral construction, so that they, we have ways of constructing that so that we aren't sort of changing the thermofield double state in real time, which would then clearly be would be a lot less interesting.
Also, we can nucleate a pair of black holes in the background, and then they are naturally entangled in this way.
You guys ready to switch? All right, thank you again.